Good day, everybody. Welcome to The Gray Matters, where we come together to discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not all a monolith and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So we're here to hopefully bring that to you every week with a little bit of nuance, class, fun. And our panel consists of three guys that are absolutely nothing alike, and you'll soon come to find out if you don't already just how much we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. I'm Billy Craig, joining you from the great state of Delaware. And today I'm joined, as usual, by my brothers from another mother, Damian Hall, out near the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, and my partner, Teddy Riley, joining us from Portland. Yep. There you go.
Jam.
How you doing today? Yes.
Oh, yes. Jam.
There we go. How are we doing today?
Man, I'm good. I'm definitely good.
Solid. All right. Chilling.
All right. Let's get it.
Hot. Hot than a mug, man. Out here, boy.
The whole, listen, it feel like the
somebody
whole
brought
world
Florida
is on fire.
To Portland.
Somebody need to apologize. Because Mother Nature is like, I thought I heard somebody say it was hot.
95 hit different in Portland than it do in Florida, just so y'all know.
Imagine Arizona, because I think I saw over the past 2 weeks.
It's been 300 degrees forever.
Yeah. They said, they said it's been over 110 for almost 2 weeks or something
You know what? You're right. The other night they said they had a low of 97 overnight. I was like, oh, Lord.
I just know if my AC goes out.
That's the beauty of living in the desert.
My HVAC go out, though. I'm fighting everybody.
No, I ain't fighting nobody.
You know what? It's a lot of people in Portland who don't have central air because they didn't need it until like 2 summers ago.
Mm. Fun story. When I lived in Nashville, when I was at TSU, I worked at CarMax. And it was so funny because when I sold cars at CarMax, that we had like two or three different cars that came in, and none of them, they all got shipped. CarMax will ship cars from other parts of the country. We had some came from Minnesota, Montana, stuff like that. They didn't have air conditioning. We practically gave those cars away. Mm-hmm. Cause nobody wanted them. Guy came and said, I don't care about air conditioning. Well, we were in Nashville though. And he was like, I don't care anything about air conditioning. How much? Man, that joint was normally 10 grand. It was like, listen, $5,500, you can have it. You paid cash.
Right.
But he hot right now.
Right.
He baking right now.
Hot tub hot. That car. It is hot tub hot.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go and get this cracking. So we often go to funerals. I know it's going to sound morbid, but this is where we start and we'll work our way back. We go to funerals. Mm-hmm. And one of the common themes is that you're supposed to give these people their flowers while they're still alive. And, you know, don't save all the flowers, for my dead. I can't enjoy them at that point. I want my flowers while I'm still living. And so one of the things that got me to thinking, and Rev kind of introduced this topic to me, was do we have an issue with giving people their flowers while they're still alive, like as black people? We're not talking about it in general. We're talking about literally as black people, as a culture. Why is it, I guess I'm gonna ask a rhetorical question because I know the answer, that it is us. And why do we have a problem giving people their flowers while they're still alive? This, you know, I love a good quotable, you know, from the urban philosopher, Sean Carter, once again. First they love you, then they hate you, then they love you.
Then they love you again.
And but we seem to tear down people. Like it's a weird dynamic where like we start off and it's like, hey, y'all got this little podcast, that's cool, you know, that's mm-hmm. really cool. Then once it blows up, they're like, oh man, we so proud of you, this is great. Then it takes it to a next level. It's like, y'all need to do all that. Y'all done changed. And then it turns into a level of hatred. Like, and we see this often. Like we saw with Jay-Z, we saw with Kanye West, we saw with all the different people, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. Like we've seen it historically throughout time that black people love you to a certain point. And then after that, it turns off into, you know, what you didn't do. You ain't give everything you made back to the community or anything like that. Happens a lot with churches. So, you know, a pastor, we want churches to grow. And then the church grows, and then
he getting too big.
Yeah, this ain't for Jesus no more. This is like
you need to humble him.
So part of the question, and I'm gonna read directly from the screen here, is that why is it so hard for us as a culture to give people their flowers? Is it because we have a skewed and tortured view of success? Are we incapable of congratulating people without making it personal? And I know that's a lot to unpack, but we're just going to take it a section at a time. I want to start off with Paul on this one. Because Paul is in a unique position of such as myself, where we both dealt largely in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And there's a grind that has to happen in order for an ounce of success. Yes. And then, you know, people say you changed and all, like there's the cutting the people off and all these different things that have to happen in order for you to maintain a level of sanity. Yeah. he was on the same word of sanity to continue on. So what do you think it is, man? Like, why is it that we're so reluctant to give people their flowers?
I think people, when they see somebody they know, that especially if they view them as less than or equal to themselves, when someone has some sort of success, it causes them to have some sort of inward torture because they know they didn't do what they were supposed to do to be where they want to be. So maybe your success is a trigger that makes them insecure. You know, that's just a guess on my part. But that's a more sophisticated way of thinking about it on a surface level. I just think that people are haters. I mean, at the end of the day, like on the whole, Black folks are haters, bro. Like, let's be honest. Like, we got to say that we hate on each other hard. We don't like to see each other win at nothing, you know? It's always a divide and conquer. We all can't eat. We all can't get rich. We all can't be on top. It can only be one guy or one lady, right? If we look at rap, right? Like, there's only one rapper that's good at a time. A comedy, only one comedian. And that's not white folks' fault. We do it too. We subscribe to it too. You know, like, look at Biggie and Tupac. They should both be alive. Mm. They didn't kill each other.
Right.
They didn't.
Say that.
They didn't.
Yeah, say that.
Them two dudes did not shoot each other. Some dudes that was around them shot them.
And even further, the beef didn't even originate with them. It was people in their ear that actually
exactly. Fueled
that. Right.
Exactly. The Who Shot You song wasn't about Tupac.
Exactly.
It was about LL.
Of all people.
LL came back with, I shot you. Like, it's simple.
Yeah.
But you get these journalists and these people who do things like this guy, the academics dude, or the Vlad dude, and we just sit there and tear each other down. You got people like the King Von dude riding around looking for niggas to kill. Are you serious? Like, what are we doing? You know, you got guys like Chris Brown singing and dancing, performing arts cat, like Tupac, get famous. Now he want to be a gangbanger and a thug? Since when did the talented 10th people decide that they want to go be street cats? When did that become hot? Mm. Like, our whole thinking, our whole mentality is backwards. We don't want to be rich by inventing something that helps everybody. We want to sell dope and kill people and get rich that way. That's like, look at Tubi. Look at all our movies. We either hooping or we slanging. Or we running the ball or we rapping. That's it. We ain't going to space. We ain't scientists. We ain't doctors. What are we doing? Like, we do this to ourselves. if you can read, you talk in white. You know, if you understand the English language and how to use it, you talk in white. If you know how to maneuver in certain rooms, you act in white. Like, it's our whole culture is counterculture, and it's to a fault. That's what I believe is our problem.
I'll jump in there. There's a guy, professor and psychologist, guy at Wake Forest, down in North Carolina. His name is Gregory Parks, and I don't know a whole lot about him, but he wrote a very interesting book, and the book was titled Haters. And he talked, and he's talking about Greek letter organizations, and that kind of spun off into a broader conversation about basically the irrational negative feelings that people have about people in other groups and people who aren't exactly like them. And he was talking in particular about Black culture. That's why that's how it got from the Greek letter organizations into just talking about the culture in general. But he was just talking about how it all relates to kind of haters. It kind of all relates to jealousy, envy, negative attitudes, stigmas around certain things that are just a matter of, you know, difference. Like every week I state this, we are not a monolith, right? But yet we approach everything like you're weird if you're different. And one of the things that was significant, and I haven't read the book, but I only read some of the excerpts around it and picked up some of the key chapters. But one of the biggest focuses that he makes in the book is that being a hater is not benign. It is not a harmless crime. Like, it's not a victimless mm-hmm. crime, so to speak. Mm-mm. When you're a hater and you're tearing someone down, that is where a lot of the I'm unwilling to give flowers are. And it's something that I often talk about whenever I work with people, especially doing coaching, whether it's business coaching, health coaching, spiritual coaching, whatever, is self-image preoccupation. And you stated this, Paul, a few minutes ago, where a lot of times we can't give other people our flowers because we're too concerned about, well, what about me? So it's mm-hmm. almost like if Andre does well, then I got to start looking at myself like, well, what does this say about me? Actually, it may say nothing about you.
Nothing like, at all.
It probably has nothing to do with you. But because we have such an obsession with essentially measuring ourselves against other people, we can't just be happy for other people or right. congratulate other people. It's like you did not fail to achieve everything you wanted in life because you took the silver medal. You just ran into a person who was literally a millisecond faster than you. That is not a reason to hate that person or to come for that person or be, frankly, or unwilling to.
Or they worship the devil or they Illuminati.
God, right. Oh God got God. Involved. All this stuff. The moon was off. No, the fact is, you can't just give the person their flower. Be willing. Like, even if you don't like a person. That's one of the things. And it's interesting because you brought up the hatred thing. There are people who, years ago, I used to feel compelled to try to understand and reason with it and show compassion. Just for my own peace, I do not spend time, other than what is absolutely necessary, I don't spend time with people who can't, I guess, rid themselves, you might say, of the inability to give somebody their props. Like, right. if you can't, like, just because we're in a, let's say, a similar field or a competing field, that in no way means that I can't acknowledge that you're good at something. It's like I preach on Sundays and I have a whole ministry. Well, there are plenty of other preachers out there who, you know, I can recommend them. I can even admit that they're better at certain things and certain aspects. And that because not only is it frowned upon in that vocation to be competitive in that way, But you, I mean, think about it. There are whole shows surrounding things where you're supposed to be helping people, and yet you're competing. What do you mean, preachers of whatever city, Detroit or New York or whatever? Why would you even compete against somebody? There's literally countless people that need something. Why are you trying to measure yourself against somebody else? I have a different skill set. I have a different set of tools. Appreciate them, congratulate them, give that to them. And I just don't have room for it. I don't have room for people that can't do that.
Well, you also got to remember the concept about dick riding, right? The truth ain't dick riding. Saying Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or LeBron or right. Kobe or Kareem is the greatest ain't dick riding. It's the truth.
Yeah, it kind of like there's a very finite number of people in dick that riding conversation.
Is lying to somebody and telling them what they're not.
So the interesting portion, I don't know why, like this has just been my theme. Is looking well, just looking back at like
say in life,
the total right. picture. Like you go to church, and this is what I say about my thing. Like it just, we'll just start with the church, and it's like we
once again have been attacked, people.
Well, no, this ain't directed at you. This is directed at the church people. Like we are directing people. Like in your messages, I know we've heard other people say or ministers say, shout for other people's blessings.
Absolutely. Right.
So that's why I said I'm not attacking you on this one. This has been a message. Shout on other people's blessing. Yours is coming. And all of this. And it's like, so when we inside those four walls, we shout, oh, this person got blessed. They done paid off their house. Amen. They done played a hallelujah. And all this. But as soon as you leave church and we say, well, LeBron, you know, is the greatest basketball player ever. I mean, he all right, man. He cool. Like he opened up a school. Well, it's not technically his school. Is the like and
I mean, but it's the truth though.
But it's we not figure out ways. But why do we figure out ways to tear people down? Even if it's even he in any facet, regardless of black person that reaches a certain
LeBron
level.
LeBron is a good. We look
for a reason to discredit the things that they have done.
Well, here's
he's a good study because his fans use everything they can to discredit everything that came before him.
But
to validate him. That's why he's a good study and we're talking about.
And it's interesting because from both extremes, if you will, you're right, Paul. He is a great study because here's the thing that we haven't really touched on it yet, but I'll just introduce this. I don't have to like everything and everybody or every aspect of your life to be able to accept the fact that you actually great. You mentioned him, not in this regard, but like I've met LL Cool J twice. I don't have anything against him. I don't, you know, he's not my favorite rapper of all time. That has zero to do with the fact that man deserves his flowers. He is on the Mount Rushmore. I don't care what criteria you have. If you're talking hip hop entertainment, if you're talking about an actual artist who like he grabs a microphone and he rhymes, he deserves to be on the short list of any list that you have.
Yes.
He's not even in my like top 10. He's not even in my top 10. I'm saying when I'm going through Amazon or I'm going through Spotify and I'm looking for
one of my top 10 favorites. My top 10 all time though.
He got to be. And I'll say the same thing. Yeah. going back to like basketball, for example, Michael Jordan has never been one of my favorite players. What kind of idiot do I sound like saying Michael Jordan is not easily, if not the greatest, he's got to be in anybody's short list. We're talking top two or three. Like, you sound like an absolute dummy.
Even if we extend it to top five, this is where I'm saying with LeBron. Right. Even if we say, okay, he's still one of the
five. I just call it
a
10, just a conversation.
Yeah, just a conversation, right.
Even if we say, extend it out to 10, 10 greatest basketball, 10 greatest people to ever do this one thing.
Right.
And we still, people find room to either get offended or have to defend things
Yes.
because of that. And it's like, there's Do you know how many people have ever picked up a basketball in life? And yeah, this man ends up being one of the 10 best to ever dribble a ball. Like, that's not a failure.
I take because I say he's not number one, but he's like top 10.
And people act
seriously. I'm a hater.
And people be like, oh, and here's the thing that's funny about that. If I defend Paul on that, people are like, I thought you liked LeBron. I'm like, I do.
Right.
But I also was alive for Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. I happen to see Kareem at the end.
All of these people are in the top 0.01% of the people who have ever done this. Like,
he's in the conversation. He's just not at the top for me.
And here's the thing. And one of the things I often say is two things can be true at the same time. Mm-hmm. I can believe that you're not number one overall, and I can still give you your flowers
for
being great. Like, I tell people, the comparison I often use for people is, back in like in high school, I was not as fast as Andre Collins in the 100. I certainly was not slow. Like, I was the fastest man in my school, right? Like, when we got to the championships, hey, I had a lineup right next to him. Like, okay, lane number four, lane number five. Like, but it just because you're not that doesn't mean that I have to somehow subtract. I don't have to take anything away from Andre. Was like, yeah, but look at this form, right? Look at the way he comes out the blocks, you know?
Right.
And that's what, and unfortunately, that's what we do, because that goes back to that self-image preoccupation where it's like, well, if I'm not this or he's this, then what does that say about me? And unfortunately, I feel like, and this kind of goes to where I want to take it, which is I feel like there's not enough people who are, I think, to you mentioned this about like rapping and basketball, and we talk about this a lot, where it's like, if you're not an athlete or an entertainer, Black people kind of feel like, what are you? Well, yep. I happen to be the most successful attorney to come out of Hamilton County in the past 50 years. Yeah, but you know, remember back when we was playing football, you was on the bench. Like, we do stuff like that because we don't value the fact that everybody has something. You don't have to, you know, we don't have to take away from somebody else. You have something of your own. Be okay with that.
But here's the weird dynamic. I know we're talking sports and all that, but in other eras, but like, to boil it down though, like, why do we kind of wait for people to fail? Is because we, and I know it sounds
inevitable.
But
it's how we want to see how you handle it.
But we celebrate failure. Like, yeah. I know you don't. But I'm talking about as a larger group. Like,
hey, Andre, we'll wait until Joe Burrow throws a couple of interceptions. We'll see how that works out.
Wow, but, here we go. This is the LeBron effect.
No, so
that's exactly my point.
Right.
People can't be objective.
You get upset when I say Joe Burrow ain't the coldest. I say Joe Burrow nice. He just ain't the coldest. And now I'm a hater. That's
exactly the point.
But like, we did it with Carl Lewis. We did it with Shakari Richardson. We'll allow you to win. We'll celebrate until a point, but as soon as you lose, you become like, oh, she got her doors blown off. He got his door. Like, it becomes that you are not. We no longer look at you as elite. Like Floyd Mayweather, as challenging as his fighters were, like the record that he amassed was still 50-0 or 51-0, whatever it became. But like, it was like people tuned in, forget Floyd, Muhammad Ali. People wanted it. There was a whole generation of people, like an entire group, that waited to see his mouth get shut up.
Well,
and then after it did,
he sold the fight,
right? But then after he passed away or he became ill and all of this, then it was like, oh well, we really do love you. But so the thing was,
context matters.
So Oppenheimer, I just went and saw it. Phenomenal movie, by the way. But at the end of the movie, there was a scene where Oppenheimer and Albert Einstein were having a conversation, and he was like, at the end of all of this, people are not going to celebrate you because you deserve it. They're celebrating you because of them. They have to clear their conscience and make it feel good that I was on board with you this entire time, even yeah. though they spent an entire portion ridiculing you and writing you off. Yeah. And I, but that's a weird, like, but the whole, but that's why I say, and that's why I guess how I came full circle and started off with the funeral, because mm-hmm. that's what we do at the funeral, is that's when we say, oh, I love this person. This person was everything. This person was great. Let's read all his credentials. You're not doing it for the person in the casket. You're doing it for you. No. So you can feel like you gave them a proper closure.
Nobody is there for the person in the casket. It's a party. No. It's for food and drinks and to see people you ain't seen in a minute. Nobody's there for the person in the casket, because if they were there for the person in the casket,
they would have been there while they were in the hospital. Or right. they were going through yeah. the cancer treatment or
look, man, it's gonna
whatever
be,
it was. Yeah,
I haven't lived in Cincinnati like for real. I lived there in 2010, 2011, right, for mm-hmm. a year. But for the most part, I haven't lived in Cincinnati or even that region for since the 90s, right? And when I go, it's going to be a bunch of people who going to be pretending that they sad.
Yeah.
Ain't seen me in decades. Ain't picked up a phone. Ain't yeah. typed a text. Nothing. Oh, damn, my dog.
Had they
gone.
Seen you on the street, they wouldn't even recognize
Wouldn't even
you.
Recognize yeah. me if I walked right past them. Oh, yep. damn, man. Y'all heard P? P gone. Man, you ain't even talked to P since Surf Cincinnati. Like, come on, bro.
You say Splash Dance in 93.
Like, stop it. Like, like, man, all the fake crying and all of yeah. the, you know, that's all a show, man.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the thing, too, about flowers is, and you, it was interesting, kind of pre-production. It's a little inside windows of the pre-production thing. One of the things that you mentioned, and I feel like it's very appropriate that we bring it up, and that is there has to be something said, again, going back to that self-image preoccupation thing, mm-hmm. there has to be something said about the fact that we identify giving compliments, giving positivity as, what we say, Andre, being gay. Like, you soft. You're weak. To give to tell another man that I appreciate this, or you are valuable in this way, or that you've really, like, anything positive is treated as though you're a sucker. You like I said, like, you're weak. It's always associated with something. The positivity can't be associated, unfortunately. The positivity can't be associated with something that is good and then also masculine a lot of times. We associate that all with, like, this feminine energy too often, okay. especially when it comes
well, but,
to, like, men.
But even
what
with
about
feminine,
women? Okay.
Well, I was going to say, even with the feminine energy, like, it's still, like, right now, there's two tours going around in this country right now.
Okay.
And yeah. they're both received differently. Beyonce yes. and Taylor Swift are both touring at the same
killing
exact
it.
Time.
Killing
and,
it.
And both of them killing it.
Killing
literally,
it.
Literally, stadiums.
They just full. Taking turns setting records.
But right. one of them is because of the Illuminati, and the other one's because she's a great songwriter.
And neither are true, by the way.
Well,
I'm just being honest.
Well, only one is a songwriter, though. I mean, that is true.
She's a good songwriter. I mean
I'm saying, I didn't say good. I said only one is a songwriter.
I'm only saying, here's what I wouldn't even argue.
I'm not saying good or bad. I'm not.
That's what only, I was getting ready yeah, to say.
I'm just saying. Only one of them writes their songs.
Interestingly enough, they had, what was it, sometime back when they had it, she was in Cincinnati and, like, shut the whole city down.
You like, talking about Beyonce?
No, I'm talking. No, I'm,
oh,
not, talking,
about,
I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
Two weeks ago. Yeah, you're talking about 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
She literally could not get, like, you couldn't get within, like, a mile of Paul Brown, what, not Paycor Stadium. Like, you just, she shut the whole city down. And here's the thing. Only thing I'm saying is, as great as she is an entertainer, I don't necessarily consider her to be a great songwriter. But that, going back to what Paul said, that's not even a matter of, oh, you hate. No, I'm not taking anything away from her. She's an amazing artist. In that she just, you know, she just ain't my thing.
Right.
And I don't think she's particular. I don't think she's like, I mean, you start
but
talking
whole,
about,
but she's a whole friggin' icon.
Yes.
She's
and I think
she's a historical figure.
And
that
to
you
say,
can't tell the history of music without.
And I'm saying to say that she's not Johnny Cash or Eric Clapton
right.
or Curtis Mayfield or Prince. That's not
or Barry White.
Insult. Barry
or,
White.
Or R. Kelly or
Neo. Okay.
Or Teddy Riley.
John Legend, whoever.
Or Keith Sweat.
Okay. You just to say you're none of those people is not an insult. That's just a fact. Like you were saying about Richie, Joe Burrow.
See, look at you.
See, he can't.
But
once
even
you turn
then,
it on.
but like nobody's telling Taylor Swift she needs to retire.
Right.
Like
she's young.
No, but I've seen the blogs where Beyonce needs to hang it up.
Yeah, she needs to cut it out.
They both in the same age range. Like they not
they not.
Beyonce's 42. Taylor Swift isn't 30 yet. The point is
she's older than 30. I'm about to look this up. Y'all go ahead.
Taylor Swift got to be maybe 30, 31.
That's what I'm saying. She's
yeah,
not.
Beyonce's a good like 15, 20 years older than Taylor Swift.
No, Beyonce's only 42, if I'm not mistaken. The point I'm making is they occupy
Beyonce,
the same.
Okay.
They overlap. They overlap the same space. And
Matthew
the point
Knowles
is, one
said
is
that Beyonce soon. And Usher are the same age.
Okay, that's so Beyonce is 41. Taylor Swift is 33.
Okay, there we go. They're about
complete
eight
different
years
generations in as far as entertainment.
Right now, they're occupying or overlapping in the same space. The point is that, to Audrey's point,
really?
they're being received very differently.
Yes,
they're being received extremely differently.
Okay,
even if we that's my point is that Black people have a way of wanting to, discard people and throw them out when they've made so much and done so much, whereas nobody is saying anything about Taylor Swift except for, oh my gosh, I wish I could get tickets. I only have 15 grand. I'm gonna have to go see her when she's in Germany.
Nobody told the Rolling Stones to hang it up. Nobody told Aerosmith to hang it up. But we tell our musical artists to, hey, you had a good
no. The only people we tell to stop are rappers.
Why is
and
that
Beyonce?
I haven't heard anybody tell Beyonce to stop. I've completely missed that.
Yeah, it's out there.
But why do we?
I don't. I must.
But
not,
why
I
do
must
we tell
even if you go to rappers?
Huh?
Let's stick with the rapper. Why do rappers need to stop? If you still put,
I didn't. Call. I'm not saying I agree.
No, I know. I'm not talking to you personally. We talking about the larger scope, the people out there.
But y'all came at me, Lord. Tell me why. Y'all, I felt attacked.
It was aggressive. My bad. You right. It was a little aggressive.
Right.
It was Dill.
But seriously, like it's like our levels of success are, like you mentioned, due to the Illuminati, or we sold our soul, or we did these other things where the other people, it was hard work. It was determination. It was this. But the messaging, and you can go, I mean, again, not that social media is the greatest indicator of all these things, but the people making the videos typically look like us, talking about, if you look at the trimere, the triangle pyramid scheme that they got here, that's proof of the Illuminati and all. It's weird, man.
Rap, I guess, is different. Well, rap is different. It's weird for me with rap, right? So I find it odd that we listen to 15 to 20 year olds for wisdom, and we got the 35, 50 year olds. We don't want to hear nothing they got to say, right? That's number one. That's weird to me. But I understand. I think when people say rappers need to hang it up or quit, it's because of the things that rappers do, what the term rapper represents. It represents womanizing, drugging, drinking, partying,
killing.
Chilling, slanging drugs, all kind of reckless behavior that nobody with a family, you know what I'm saying, and children should be wrapped up in, right? So there's that stigma that comes along with it. You know, ain't nobody telling Killer Mike to quit. Ain't nobody telling Jay-Z to quit.
Even if
they definitely told Jay-Z that he needed to quit.
Who was it?
The Jay-Z, the Nas, the KRS-One, I was going to say, I agree, your material should change. And I think that was the brilliance of Jay-Z,
adaptation.
Is that his material changed growth. As he grew. But you know, even then, it's the younger generation who still says that old head need to retire. This person needs to go.
Because the old head is trying to make music for the young head, and the old head need to make music for the old heads. That's the problem with rap music, yeah, is we don't have any old rap music. This you understand? True. Like, yeah, we just now starting to get to old rap music. Like Nas and Jay-Z are creating that type of thing for us at this
but
point.
But I think some of that, to Andre's point, is because the ones who would have been from that generation, they were kind of canceled out over time.
We only letting a few through the door.
Yeah, there's only a handful of them gotten through from the 80s. Like, there's only a few of them that are still accepted because they got to sell records in order to actually be relevant. And, you know, old people, you know, ain't buying it. What I was going to suggest, though, even if we take it away from, like, sports or rapping and entertainment in that regard, I remember vividly when Oprah Winfrey was about to buy the OWN network, when she was going to start her own network. Mm-hmm. And originally it started out, everything was cool. And then within like a few months, it tanked. I'm talking like it, the value went down. And everybody, there were people like, yeah, she doing too much anyway. And that kind of energy, the same thing. I mean, how many times has Bill Cosby tried to buy a network?
I'm a full disclosure. I don't have a positive energy for Oprah.
Okay. But here's what I'm saying.
But I was one of those people that was kind of happy.
Okay. But the question, so then the question is for you. Okay, why? Like, what is it about her?
Because nothing about her platform has ever been supportive of Black men.
Okay.
Nothing.
But with that, are we still able to acknowledge that she's
a whole force in the entertainment?
I can acknowledge that she is a mogul. She's a great, she's an iconic figure and all those other things. I don't have to like her. And true.
Right. Yeah. None of this has ever been about who we
like. I'm not a Spike Lee fan for the same reason.
I was going to tell you, I'm not a Tyler Perry fan.
Either one. Exactly.
But here's the thing, though. I can't tell you the last Tyler Perry movie that I've watched. However,
on purpose.
Definitely not on purpose. But I'm saying
he might have caught me after something was on like VH1 and it was just kept rolling. And I was in my phone or something.
I fell asleep and I hit the remote control and it ended up on TV1. But my point is, and that's the flowers. I can definitely get that man his flowers. Like, I was just watching a documentary and it was he was talking about, like, that man is what, 6'6" and was living out of his Geo Metro. Like, he was grinding, doing his plays when nobody was catching on in Atlanta. Like, you can get a man his flowers and still not, I ain't giving you no money to watch your stuff. And that's all I'm saying is that
What I've learned, though, is that when we have these ultra mega mogul Black folks, what I've learned is that they've often treated people of color worse than any white person ever did to get where they got.
Whoa, say that again. I want to make sure I heard that right.
We have these ultra mega super rich moguls.
Oprah Winfrey, Bill Cosby, Jay-Z, Tyler Perry.
Name them. Run them off.
Bob Johnson.
Name them. Run them off.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Keep going. Magic Johnson. Go ahead.
Run them off. Michael Jordan. Yeah. Run them off. LeBron James. Run them off. Yeah, all of them.
Okay.
Michael,
right.
What we find is that they've often treated people of color, their track record around the treatment of people of color is often worse than their white counterparts.
Yeah, I got no argument.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Is your position that once you cross that threshold and you get to that next layer of the atmosphere and you cross into the
I believe ozone. You have a responsibility to treat people of color with humanity. And oftentimes they treat them worse because they like, well, where are you going to go? I'm the last thing you got.
I actually think from a causation correlation perspective, my personal thought is that on the way up to that level, I think it is, and I could be wrong, and certainly not in all cases, but I think in a lot of cases, I don't think it's as much I got there because I was willing to dump on black people, as much as on my way up to that level, mm-hmm. it was white people who supported me in a way that black people didn't. And so I don't feel a particular loyalty to them because they weren't the ones who were actually helping me up. They were the ones who were hating on me and trying to keep me down. Now I'm only saying that obviously I'm not a mogul, but I can only share that from personal experience. Okay. Most of the breaks that I have gotten, it has nothing to do with proximity to or a loyalty to black people. It has always been breaks. And again, it's not because I'm begging and looking for their approval. Well, it's generally come from white people. And I don't mean it from a strictly financial.
The people who have all the ability to give the breaks. What's going to happen, bro.
Let me give you an example.
We're talking about behind the door scenes.
What I'm saying is there are people who have been in positions to, and I'm talking, I'll just use ministry, for example. There have been people who have been in positions to help me out and further what I was doing in the ministry. Mm-hmm. The black ones are always the ones who tore me down and had the most skepticism had the most hate. The white ones were the ones. That's all I'm saying. And so what I'm saying is, and I'm not speaking for myself personally.
They're aspirational. They aspire to get to the point where those white folks are just so they can treat black folks the way they do. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations with quote unquote rich black folk and have heard how they talk about black people.
But I'm saying, the only thing I'm saying is, I'm certain, and I'll speak in one particular case because we were talking about Oprah Winfrey. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about her story because she's a graduate of Tennessee State. She grew up in Nashville, right? This is not an excuse because I wouldn't do the same things as she did in many different circumstances. However, there's a backstory to why it is she don't fool with some of us, is all I'm saying. There's a backstory. People got stories. People got reasons. And I'm saying I would never do this because this is not where my heart is. I would be completely and totally justified if I had that same attitude, because honestly, I've gotten most of my daggers and most of my knives in my back from people who did, black people who didn't want me to succeed. To be honest with you, even though racism is real and prevalent, and I've had to overcome those hills as well, I'm only saying that without knowing the different stories, sometimes it is hard because, let's face it, black people would make up reasons why it is that I don't deserve my flowers for certain things. White people gladly give them out if they want to because they don't feel any type of shame or they're not attached to it in some type of self-absorbed, self-preoccupation type of way. That is something that I have found to be not exclusively, but kind of uniquely a black experience thing.
Yeah. Black people are in competition with each other innately. Mm. I have to have a better car than you. I got to have a prettier woman than you. I got to have a bigger chain than you, a better watch, better job, more money. I got to have everything better than you.
Yep.
I'm not even concerned with you, brother. I don't care what I got to have, what I need and what I want. I don't even care what you want. I don't even care if you like what I have. Fellow, unless you try to take it.
Fellow that we all know of down in Atlanta, Creflo Dollar. Early on in his ministry, we're talking about back in the days when he first getting on BET. We used to see him back in college, you know. People used to talk really bad about his wife, Taffy. Because sometimes they talk about her hair wasn't done right and she was dressing kind of funny and that kind of thing. They tore her down. You don't hear any of your white mega pastors, people who had those platforms, you don't hear anybody talking about their wives, anybody talking about how they mustache was off or their hair wasn't right.
We've been that trained is something to not like each other and to pick each other apart. We don't like each other. We've been taught that. It's the American way to not like niggas.
Well,
it ain't just white folks that don't like niggas. It's Asian folks. It's Latino folks.
See, like
it's
the old Chris Rock
Arab
joke.
Folks. It's we Indian don't like folks. Niggas either. And guess who else is? Guess who don't like niggas the most? Black folks.
Absolutely.
We don't like each other. We've been taught that we ain't worth nothing but trouble.
Well, and all I'm saying,
now we unpacking the flower conversation.
Right.
Here and we go.
And all I'm saying is that, unfortunately, that is the reason why, this is my personal belief, that's the reason why we can't give flowers, because you have to be willing to do the work to decompress and unfold that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have that. There are people in my family that are that way, where they can't say a positive word.
We were raised by people who felt that way. That's where did exactly we go to right. school? Like, you ain't going over there with them.
Yeah.
You're going to go over here. I know it's, trust me, yep. It's better over here than it is over there.
Yep.
It look fun over there, but ain't nothing happening over there. Trust me.
Yep.
That's literally what all three of our people.
Yeah.
That's why we went to the schools we went to. You don't need that's to exactly be around right. them folk.
Yep. And all I'm saying is that
for right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm not saying they were right. I'm saying that was the thinking behind it.
And all I'm saying is, if a person is legitimately successful, great, they've accomplished something, you have to be willing to step away from your upbringing, your culture, your education, all of those things, to say, there's got to be something wrong with me if I'm looking at something legitimately great and I'm giving it the wrong appraisal. If I can look at a Rolls Royce and not see the value, I am the problem. If I can see something that is legitimately great and successful and I can't call it what it is, then I have to recognize that there's something wrong with me, not the culture, not everybody else, because as an individual, I refuse to allow my personal station in life to dictate whether or not I can identify whether or not Taylor Swift is awesome or Beyonce right. is awesome or LeBron or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. The links that people go to tear people down, that is a you problem. And you have to see just how toxic that is. Mm-hmm. I can't live in that world. And I may not be in the best spot or where I want to be, but I find it troubling that people feel okay with the fact that you just made a horrible appraisal of another man or woman and what they've been able to accomplish, achieve, and grow into, to the point where you just can't like give it an honest appraisal of what it is, because of the toxicity in your life that you got to tear something down.
You mentioned last, before we wrap up, like you mentioned Chris Rock, which got me to thinking, Dave Chappelle and Kevin Hart are both two comedians that literally started at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart was telling jokes in a male strip club.
Jeez.
And made it to
Atlantic City.
Yeah, made it to rock star status. Yes. Like, he is a whole rock star.
Yeah.
And
once he on the Philadelphia Mount Rushmore. Like,
yes.
Will Smith.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Right. A couple other names. Yeah, they there.
So, but now it's like you see the things where like the memes where like what comedian do you find not funny? And it's like most of us not. Us, but us are like Kevin Hart never been funny to me, and it's just like, okay,
that's your fault.
and that's where it's like we as a culture get so like angry at other people's success that we won't even allow ourselves to enjoy anything that person does.
We like, don't like anything that's not derogatory. I don't understand that about us.
Yeah.
It's literally got to do with him not being a derogatory comedian, if you ask me.
And you know what's funny about that, Paul? The truth, I almost equate, for me, Kevin Hart, I put him in the LL Cool J conversation, not in the set like he's the GOAT or on that Mount Rushmore. But the point is, Kevin Hart doesn't always do it for me, but I can recognize that man is funny. Chris Rock,
funny
same way.
Conversation.
Right. Chris Rock, I don't find him to be particularly funny in a lot of his movies, but my point is I get why he's funny.
I get why
if that makes sense. I get why it works. Like, there are people that I get why it works, even if it's not my brand. Why can't you acknowledge that?
You know, why are you gonna tell me? I cut Andre off, my bad.
No, you're good. It, but it's still like, if for me, if nothing else, I still just appreciate the grind. Like, that's why I brought up the fact he started literally telling jokes in between sets of male strippers. Like, that's his start. Mm-hmm. And he's made it. There's no, regardless of how Richard you feel about Pryor. You cannot deny the fact that this man is a rock star.
Absolutely.
And
but Steve Harvey,
multiple times over,
us to celebrate that. Like, we need to celebrate the fact that the beginning to the end, but we can't get out of our own way and stop thinking about our own failures in order to celebrate somebody else.
You brought up Steve Harvey, Paul. Nobody can talk about Steve Harvey without talking about Marjorie and talking about his divorces and talking about, and it's like,
he's not funny to me, not one second, but ain't no, if I saw that man, I would shake his hand and be like, bruh, you this did man, that.
Li- listen, living in his car, selling carpet, you know, his story is phenomenal.
Exactly. It's inspirational.
His story is phenomenal. And here's the thing. It's like he said, and I love it when he said it too. He said, whether you think I'm funny or not, he was, what did he say? He was like, if you don't think I'm funny, he was like, I really don't give a damn because you can't turn on the TV. Mm-hmm. And not see my face,
right?
Commercial, Family Feud reruns, something.
He got residuals coming now.
He got a lot of residuals, and it's failed money. Multiple times. And that's the point, is that, like he's, you said, Steve Harvey. Too. Yeah, he's killing. He's breaking
Nick Cannon.
Man. Oof. Yeah, and I ain't gonna lie, that's a hard one for me.
What, you don't like Nick?
Nah.
Why not? What's wrong
with
Nick?
But I get it.
What's wrong with Nick? Nick living his best life all over the place.
I get it.
I know why you don't like Nick. Because he ain't. Yeah, because Nick don't sleep in one house.
Nah, man.
He went there 15 minutes.
Listen.
He ride around with the Sprinter. You know it's a Sprinter, too.
You know it is.
You need a Sprinter. Well, a station wagon ain't holding that.
This man need a Sprinter. He need a multiple passenger van.
He need an airport shuttle is what he needs.
Yeah, a Sprinter. He need a nice juicy Sprinter. Yeah.
We can upgrade the Mercedes version, but it's still gonna have at least 20 seats. It gotta have.
Yes.
But the fact that, and it's like you said, if you can anybody who will sit here and argue his success.
Yeah.
Argue his talent, even if it's just purely grinding and being in the right spot and taking advantage of his spot, his, you know, opportunity when it comes. Because I don't find him to be particular. Like, he's not great at any one thing, but the man finds a way to get an opportunity.
He is great at finding ways to get on television.
That's all I'm saying. And that in and of itself is something.
The black Ryan Seacrest.
There you go.
If you can't cry at Undercover Boss for somebody else getting blessed, then that's a problem with you. That's all I'm saying.
Bruh. Bruh.
And that sound you just heard for the people listening on streaming platforms. One, we appreciate y'all, but wanted to give you a shout out that's our APB sound. So we are about to tell you who we are looking for. In society or culture or whatever. So at this point, this is going to be a look. This is on topic, on brand, but it's going to be unexpected. We're talking about giving flowers. I am going to beat this drum until I die that a person who deserved a flowers from us as a culture, black culture, is Darius Rucker.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't
sir.
Know why he talk has that talk. Not-
That's strong.
Gotten
That's
NAACP strong. Awards, Soul Train Awards, any other, because he doesn't fit the mold that we want him to be in our box. Like, we love you on our terms.
Shout out to Cowboy Troy too.
Man, absolutely. But Darius Rucker is easily at the top of country music, like a must-see person, must-see artist. He gives
been
back
about
to the black
20
community.
Years, right?
He been, I mean, holding it down. For those who may not, 20, he was Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Right.
Like, this Killing man it. Is a nah. whole icon. Icon, and we refuse to celebrate him. And I again, every chance I get, I am going to champion the fact that he needs to get his flowers.
Yes,
and
sir.
And I'll fight anybody who disagrees.
That's all I got. Look here. No, I'm right on that bandwagon. Here's the thing. There is no most underrated list that he doesn't belong on the top somewhere. Number one. Number two, and I'll take a stab at this, and this may be controversial. I really don't care. To the culture, and I'm talking about to Black culture, Darius Rucker is what we want Tiger Woods to be. What we really have been clamoring for Tiger Woods to be, and Tiger Woods is not, never was. Go. Well, I'm not,
and I don't mean that like take his black. I know what you mean. And just let him be great, and just let him live his life. Right. That's not what he wants to do. The same way we let Michael Jordan live.
Yes.
Let's let Tiger Woods live.
And to that point, I'm saying that some of the greatness that some of the things we herald and we kind of glom on and give people all their flowers. Mm-hmm. I think Andre raised a really good point, because just because Darius Rucker does country music and he came up with, like, we know him from Hootie and the Blowfish, like, why can't we see that as Black excellence? Like, why can't we embrace that as Black excellence? And that's kind of the point.
Too stupid to understand that country music is Black music.
It's Black music. That's exactly right. Literally, there is no R&B. There is, frankly, no gospel.
No blues. There's nothing.
Blues, nothing.
All of it.
All of it is Mississippi Delta, rock, bluegrass, country.
All of it. All of that. Come from us.
But... No, that's I'm gonna be honest. I did not see that one coming. That's a great surprise.
That was a great one.
That's probably the best APB we've had. Because Darius, let me tell you something, man. Shout out to, in fact, I'm on a new mission now. We got to get Darius Rucker on the show. We have to get Darius Rucker on.
If you can pull that off, we going to the top, bro.
Man, listen. Ain't no if, it's when. Okay. It's win, because seriously,
can we do it at like NASCAR or something? Can we do it at like Talladega?
No, we going to Andre's house. He right there in Nashville.
Okay, there we go.
We ain't got nowhere to go. He probably right around the block.
He perform at the Ryman all the time.
We got to pull that off, man.
We got to pull that off.
One. That's a great one. I love it. Shout out to Darius Rucker and all of his great work, man. That's a great one. All right. All right. Well, that's a wrap. We want to thank you once again for joining us here on The Gray Matters. Each week, we try to bring you the best. And so we are grateful for each and every one of our followers and subscribers. We ask you to continue to circulate the information out there. Tell people about us. Keep listening. If you have any questions, comments, have any suggestions or ideas that you want to offer up, please leave us some comments. Send us a message. We love to get feedback on how we can always do a better job each and every week. So with that, we want to say thank you once again. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Again, follow us, subscribe, leave us comments. We look forward to hearing from you and seeing you back here once again next week. Be blessed.
Peace.
Peace.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar. My ancestors back from the grave, no longer a slave, beat to the gods, kneel, pray, survive in my day, a threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, Black, intelligent.
Oh, now they're afraid.
It's too late. I am the king, I am the spark to the brain, I am the light that fought the dark, and now you're seeing the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing, to find out I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is a fight, so you can open your mind, peel the scab back, reveal the blood, and see what we'll find. Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World Light Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left the grave. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walking to a bar. The Gray Matters.